Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Alan Gray, helping you secure your future. 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. And we have been discussing the South African equities market all evening. Very interested in the next conversation we'll be having with Jitin Pele, who is portfolio manager at Allan Gray. Up until the last quarter, South Africa's equity market performance was relatively muted in recent years, not even just last quarter, but for the year. A number of structural challenges have always weighed down South African sentiment and since created a sense of an operating environment that's quite difficult for business to thrive, not to mention a pandemic and the like. But the formation of a government of national unity did prompt many investors to reconsider South Africa's prospects. Many are optimistic that things will improve if the new government can solve some key challenges. I'm excited to have Jitin Pele right now to join Kaya Biz to help us understand the SA equity market, the current headwinds, potential tailwinds, and highlight some of the long-term opportunities for investors who can look through the noise. Jitin, welcome to Kaya Biz. How are you this evening?
Well, thanks, Rafira. How are you?
Good. What is your sense? I mean, these last three quarters of 2024 have been quite positive. I mean, I would say better than most years for South African investors.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, we've had a strong start to the year for the JSE. So if we look at the All Share Index, you know, up 16% year to date to the end of September. But, you know, to your point, that actually hides the strong performance of companies that predominantly face the South African economy. So, you know, if you look broadly, let's call them MENA retailers, banks, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, those share prices are up somewhere between 20 and 30% on average for the year. So exactly right. Very strong start, especially post GNU.
I was about to say, your sense of the impact of the GNU on that or global factors perhaps might have played a bigger part?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. You know, certainly global sentiment, and I say this with a caveat because it feels like it changes every day. But, you know, global sentiment broadly this year has been positive as the U.S. has commenced cutting interest rates. And so naturally that I think for assets overall, that's created a bit more of optimism. But then South Africa specifically, you know, you take global sentiment and you couple that with what people are hoping is an improved future, especially post-GNU, is really when we saw a rally in South African assets, as people are pricing in a better future. Interesting to note, nothing fundamentally has changed yet, but people are hopeful.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. So there is a little bit of that sentiment that's being priced in. And I think for more and more of the conversations that we certainly do have here on Kaya Biz, the sense is, look, we're going to need a bit more, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And milestones that will be important include the MTBPS later this month, obviously what the actual budget looks like in the new year, and what full year GDP looks like by March, and of course to see the persistence of ongoing electricity provision. But what is your sense that maybe this is just a re-rating as opposed to, you know, perhaps more of the fundamental?
Yeah. So, you know, thus far it's been more of a re-rating than kind of fundamental earnings growth. But, you know, I guess one would argue that people are re-rating shares because they're hopeful that the earnings growth is to come. I think that's where we're a bit more circumspect because, you know, if don't get me wrong, the GNU is definitely kind of a positive development. You know, to remove some of the left tail, you know, extreme negative risk that, yes, that could have occurred to South African assets beforehand and certainly improve the prospects of a right-tail favorable outcome. But, you know, a lot of the structural headwinds that we were facing pre-GNU are still there, you know, both internal and external. If you think about... Sorry.
No, please. I'm interrupting. I apologize. Talk to me through your top three headwinds that you're concerned about.
Yeah. So I think, again, kind of segmenting into internal and external, you know, internally, we know when we talk to companies that we invest in on behalf of our clients, you know, it seems as though a lot of the kind of governmental failings sit at local government level rather than national government level. You know, if we think about things like water infrastructure, as an example, electricity provision, and this is outside of load shedding, just basic grid maintenance and the like. They're kind of key infrastructure issues that still kind of need to resolve themselves. The second part to this is, in terms of the external headwinds that we're facing, even if we assume that, the GNU functions well, gets the necessary policy reform that we need in order to kind of improve foreign investor confidence, we get a handle on SOE performance, and that turns in a positive direction, particularly Transnet. There's still some external headwinds that could be a problem for us. If we think about the global growth environment, and particularly China, South Africa, as much as we've tried to identify, we're still predominantly a resource-dependent economy.
Yeah.
And, with China consuming, call it 50% or more than 50% of most industrial commodities, a slowdown in Chinese growth is going to have a very direct impact on South Africa. They've tried in recent weeks to propose some stimulus measures, but I'm not sure that fixes the structural issues that they're facing in their economy.
100%.
So, it's great if we hopefully can get our act on the road internally, but there's some external headwinds that may pose a problem.
So I did just that these two major headwinds that you're highlighting are on the one hand critical in the face of SA Inc. and on the other very critical in terms of our export side. What can a stock picker look to try to find? What are some of the success stories maybe from sectors that you've looked at in your portfolio that kind of are able to buttress against these risks?
Sure. So, we're bottom-up fundamental stock pickers. So, we try to look for opportunity even in a muted macro environment, as an example. And certainly the South African environment has delivered companies that have been able to win even in a kind of stagnant growth environment. And we can look at different sectors. We can look at the banks and what Capitec has done as an example to kind of take market share, add new products, kind of create new markets within a sector that you think is very geared to the South African economy, as an example. We can look for example, in retail, we can look at a company like Woolworths, mm-hmm. and specifically the food division, a business that continues to kind of grow revenue quite nicely at very healthy margins, in our opinion, is one of the best food businesses in the world, even in a country, where the economy isn't as strong as we hoped. In education, you've got a company like Advertech, where that is actively responding to where the state has failed to adequately keep up with the provision of good quality education. Mm-hmm. You've had private sector players come in and pick up that burden. So, to summarize, it's a combination of companies that are able to take market share and grow within their sectors, but also a bit of what we call self-help. These are companies that sometimes have done something that hasn't worked so well in their business, but that now creates an opportunity for them to grow their earnings by fixing stuff, even if the economy isn't as strong as we would have hoped.
So in your portfolios, would you say that you're positioned more for, it sounds to me like you're saying you're positioned for pretty much upside on the GNU, stability with the GNU, and more of an SA Inc. story versus, let's say, other emerging markets, given the global backdrop.
Yeah. So, actually, we're positioned more offshore than
okay.
SA Inc. And especially with the kind of recent rally in assets. And the reason is, we're worried that SA valuations have gotten slightly ahead of the fundamentals.
Okay.
Nothing has fundamentally changed post-GNU. Share prices have moved on a re-rating.
Mm.
And if we're worried that if things disappoint, actually equity returns from South African-focused businesses could be somewhat muted going forward. As a result, we've tilted the portfolio, and I say tilts because, a variety of things could happen, and you know, this is definitely a year to us of heightened risk. So we've tried to position for a wide variety of outcomes,
right?
But tilt the portfolios to be more defensive. So you know, defensive in terms of a bias to offshore, to an offshore weighting,
yes,
to companies that have fairly defensive demand, and defensive revenues and strong cash flows. A healthy allocation to precious metals such as gold, which tend to do a bit better in times of chaos.
Sure.
Lastly, a good cash allocation, where if there is, for example, a market sell-off, you know, we can quickly deploy that cash to take advantage of opportunities.
On the financial side, you've got quite strong exposure there.
We do.
Which feels more
underweight.
Cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or mill risk on, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Look, financials have been by far the strongest sector. You know, if we talk, you know, year to date, financials are up, call it 25%. And you know, I guess for us, you know, let's take the banks as a subsector. You know, for us, we're consciously underweight to the banking sector because you know, in a more subdued macro environment, you know, to our minds, not every bank can win in that environment. If the macro is subdued, you're really fighting for market share rather than the entire pie growing for everyone. So, you know, for example, the financial stocks that we hold in the portfolio are very much ones that we think have, again, some self-help, like I talked about earlier, or we think, you know, has some other thing that can grow even if SA is weak. So Standard Bank is a great example of that. They have a very big business outside of South Africa that is growing on the rest of the continent, that is growing quite quickly, as an example. So that would be an example of a banking share that we like.
Understood. And some quality sort of high-end, like your Remgros. Talk to us a little bit about those selections.
You broke up there?
Your Remgro position. Is that Remgro, more of your defensive, your rand hedge?
100%. Remgro is actually a bit of a self-help story. You know, if you think about of what Remgro exists or consists of today, it's a wide variety of businesses, most of which face the South African economy. But you know, we value each of those businesses and then we compare it to the Remgro share price. And when you do that, you know, Remgro trades at somewhere between a 30% and 40% discount to the sum of the various businesses that it owns. So actually, the self-help that we see with Remgro is they have some listed investments that we think they can dispose of or unbundle to shareholders and effectively unlock some of that discount. Again, very much a self-help story in terms of how they can fix the corporate structure to reduce the discount that it trades versus its intrinsic value.
Jithin, a pleasure to get the perspectives of Alan Gray, Portfolio Manager at Alan Gray, Jithin Pillay, giving us that snapshot of some of the portfolios, the post-election euphoria and avoiding a Ramaphosa situation and actually positioning ourselves slightly more defensively and without having to be stuck in an overvalued lot of shares. Thanks so much for joining us this evening on Kaya Biz.
Thank you very much.
Helping you secure your future was brought to you by Alan Gray. 50 years of long-term investing, Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.